Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Astros in the midst of a 2-game losing streak. Gasp! They lost yesterday 10-6 to the Cleveland Guardians in 10 innings. They rallied from down 5-1 after a rough start by Hunter Brown. Tied things up late thanks to a Jose Altuve signature moment. But in extra innings, Josh Hader stays in for 2 innings and he allows a grand slam. Cleveland goes on to win. Astros looking to avoid a sweep today. We got some updates on the injury front from the Houston Astros. Sean Mapes and I get a kick out of how the Astros share these injury updates with us in the Astros pregame notes that they send down to credentialed media members. Here is how they wrote things up going into last night's game. Injury updates. Below are updates on several Astros players. Right-handed pitcher Spencer Arrighetti, broken right thumb. He's in Florida, scheduled to throw a live batting practice yesterday and threw a 30-pitch side on the 4th of July. J.P. France, right shoulder surgery, is in Florida going through a planned deload. What the hell is that? A planned deload?
Is that like...
Sounds like a fun weekend activity, yeah. In my opinion.
I don't know.
Sounds like date night. His next live batting practice is scheduled for July 9th. Luis Garcia, right elbow surgery, began a rehab assignment Monday in the Florida Coast League. Christian Javier threw live batting practice on Monday. 2 innings, 35 pitches. Finally, here's Yordan Alvarez. Right hand inflammation. Continues to work out. Has not begun to hit yet. Just leg days, I hope. Don't want to inflame it further. Chaz McCormick, left oblique strain. God, he's been out a while. Began a rehab assignment Friday. Zach DiCenzo with his left-hand capsule strain continues with his running and throwing, has not progressed to hitting yet. Brendan Rodgers. I forgot Brendan Rodgers was injured.
Yeah, this stretch is all the – after Alvarez is all the guys that I kind of forgot. All the hitters that I forgot are hurt, and that's why Corona's playing.
Right, exactly. I mean, Kennedy Corona.
Corona and Short. It's like, oh, yeah. Exactly. Because DiCenzo and Brendan Rodgers are out.
Bless their hearts. But, yeah, they should not be up there.
It's just surprising. Yeah.
Jacob Melton, right ankle sprain, expected to transition to Florida.
What?
As is Brendan Rodgers. They're going to transition to Florida. Imagine transitioning to Florida in real life.
What the hell is going on?
What does transitioning to Florida mean? What would that mean?
Instead of whatever supplements that you take, either testosterone or estrogen, it's
meth.
I was going to say banned GNC supplements.
Bath salts.
And tanning oil.
Oh, a lot of tanning oil. You're going to be leathery.
You got to look like that lady from Jacksonville at the beach house.
I was in Miami by my new beach house. Well, it wasn't actually on the beach. A couple blocks away. Sean Dubin, also expected to transition to Florida. This is so funny. Jeremy Pena is working out in the weight room, but no baseball activity yet with his left rib fracture. That guy's tough.
Of course he's working out in the weight room. You didn't have – that's not an update. Yeah. Look at him. He's always in the weight room.
He's so jacked. Oh, my God. Yeah, we talk about Danielle Hunter.
It's right up there.
We're talking about beefcake city for Houston athletes. I can say this. I'm very comfortable with my sexuality, which is undefined for many. Beefcake city. Luis Guillorme, currently going through a hitting, running, and throwing progression. Pedro León, forgot about hit too. God. Continuing with his hitting and throwing progression. I mean, these are guys that should be playing for the injured players that are injured. Wild.
Yeah. This lineup, or you know, however many guys this is like on par with the lineup that the Astros are actually trotting out there.
Yeah.
Like it is, you could make the case it's even better because you have Alvarez, if you're going to assume Alvarez is going to be normal Yordan, and Pena with the current, how he's playing before he got hurt. Like this is a really good lineup with them. And you got DeZinzo, McCormick, Rogers, Melton, not that good. But neither are the guys the Astros are actually playing.
I'm very curious to see when Yordan Alvarez is back and when Jeremy Pena is back. No real update there, so maybe Dana Brown gave us something on his visit to the Astros flagship. We do this segment once a week because Dana Brown very often overpromises and underdelivers, even though he's doing a hell of a job. Are you down with Dana Brown? Are you down with Dana B? You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much in the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see. He was asked, Dana Brown on the Astros flagship earlier today, what Astro will be back first? Quote, I would think it's going to be Jeremy Pena. We don't have a time frame. Talked to him yesterday, and he's feeling really good, doing lower body work right now. Okay, so he's not just working on the guns. He's working on the, what's a good word for legs? If you got big legs.
The tree trunks?
The tree trunks, that's right. Thanks, Sean. Okay. Beefcake City. Yordan Alvarez. What's going on with him, Dana? It's tough to put a timeline on it. Once he feels good enough, we're going to try to expedite it. He's got to feel good the following day. He's not hitting yet. His hand is feeling really good. Got the good news with the imaging. That's right. That was awesome on Friday to find out going into the 4th of July weekend that Yordan Alvarez's fracture had not gotten any worse, that he was just dealing with some inflammation. Right now, Yordan can hold the bat, but he can't swing yet. We're going to let him heal completely and then get him some activity. Longtime listener of the Paul Gallant Show, wherever it's been, Ocho Texto texted in, Paul, I have more confidence in Colton Gordon pitching a complete game shutout than of Kawhi Alvarez returning healthy. Damn! Kawhi? I don't think we're at Kawhi levels yet, but hand inflammation, if it's inflammation, the longer he's out, there will come a point where Yordan maybe deservedly should be called out. The track record is certainly not a good one for Yordan to this point in his career. I think we could all agree on that. Yeah. He's a great hitter, but he misses a lot of games, and sometimes the injuries or the things that cause him to leave, like smoke from fireworks, seem a little ridiculous.
That's to me. It's like less about the games he's actually missed, because it's really been like three big injuries and then like little stuff here and there. It is the like way he has to be managed, like the handling of it. It's like that's the Kawhi part where it's like can't be back-to-backs, can't be smoke inhalation.
Can't play in the field because he might accidentally rip his hamstring off of his leg.
Remember when he and Pena collided? I forgot if it was last year or the year before, and it looked like a car wreck. Like
it would. Those are two huge guys.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
But I really get a kick out of, right now, he can hold the back. He can hold the bat. Can't swing yet.
From the 832, Astros medical staff reporting injuries so bad they should hire Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern Show to write and read the injury reports. Everything would be an upgrade. Sean Mapes and I would be an upgrade. That's how bad they've been, and we are not doctors at all.
Imagine.
Sean took a meteorology class. I haven't taken anything close to it. I cheated on a biology test in eighth grade. I mean, like, that's all I've got.
Meteorology doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help. But are we
it's
worse?
Science related, yes.
Yeah. What else do we have here from Dana Brown? Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana on trade talks. We'll try to be active, of course. We've been in touch with a lot of teams since mid-May. They always say we're always in the market for pitching. They need a lefty bat. I've said it over and over again. Dana on the 2025 pitching staff. Are you down with Dana Brown? We're going to get some help from some of the guys that are going to come off the IL. You're going to have days like yesterday. It goes with the territory. I am just counting down the days until Dana Brown talks about the return of Christian Javier and Luis Garcia as if the Astros made a trade at the trade deadline. It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen with Yordan Alvarez. It's going to happen with Jeremy Pena, especially since things are now timing up where we're less than 3 weeks from the trade deadline, I think, officially. A little bit more because the 9th to the 31st. So we're 22 days away. We are almost 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. He's going to do it. If he doesn't do it, I'm going to be disappointed.
To me, though, Yordan has to come back within like a week of the deadline on either side, either a week before or a week after. Okay. After that, it's not like getting a deadline bat because he's coming back in the middle of August. That's not.
What if he comes back mid-September?
It's not like getting a. It's like a back-to-school deal. I don't know. I don't know what it would be like in Dana Brown terms.
That is Are You Down with Dana Brown? Every Wednesday, generally at 1 o'clock, it's something we do whenever he does his interview. A shout out, as always, to Dan Matthews for transcribing this thing. Because listening to Dana can be frustrating from time to time. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, and also live on the brand new ESPN Houston app. Up next, answer this question for me. How many more wins will the Houston Rockets have this 2025-2026 season with Kevin Durant aboard? We will discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Y'all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant.
Rockets put out a hype video for Kevin Durant. You might see his face all over H-Town. There's billboards aplenty announcing his arrival. They're even using the old Houston Rockets font. I'm wondering if a little rebrand uniform-wise is in the works. Because the Rockets have shaken things up a little bit when certain players have arrived. After they added Scottie Pippen, they changed to the pajama uniforms. After they drafted Yao Ming, they changed to the melting communism uniforms. I hate those. Stuck with those for way too long. After James Harden's arrival a couple years later, they started jazzing things up a little bit, going away from the melting communism towards where they're at now. They have so many uniforms at this moment in time. I'm wondering if they go back to the 94-95 font and perhaps actual ketchup and mustards, which they should never have left. Anyway, Durant is now a member of the Houston Rockets. Earlier this morning, I was on Fox 26 with Nate Griffin, and we were talking about the billboards all across the city, and we got into back and forth over this. Last year, the Rockets won 52 games. Per most sports books, their projected win total for 2025-2026 is 54.5. How many more wins does Kevin Durant get you? This might be controversial. I'm not thinking it's going to get you as many more as you'd think. I do not think that adding Kevin Durant makes the Rockets a 60-win team. I think some do feel that way, and that it's going to be very important for the Rockets to try their best to get the one seed. But it might be a foregone conclusion in a Western Conference that features the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I've been thinking about it, and I mean, first off, the West is just a difficult conference. And the fact that the Rockets had the record that they did last year, a bit of an anomaly, no, given their offensive limitations. Sure, they play hard. Intense defense. Ime Udoka benches guys that aren't doing what he wants. I like that about him. No one is a made man on this team. We'll see if Kevin Durant is someone that also is held accountable to on that level. Like you saw Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green get held accountable from time to time. But are the Rockets making a big jump from a regular season win total by adding Kevin Durant? I just think it's going to be too hard for them to make that jump from 52 to 60 plus. Thunder had 68 wins this past season. I mean, that was an incredible year. They were in first place by 16 games in the Western Conference. 16. They ran away with that thing. Cleveland and Boston also had 60-plus wins. I suppose, given Boston's uncertainty and what's going on with the Pacers, there will be less wins from those teams, which means theoretically a few more wins to go around to the Houston Rockets. But I think the West is going to be a little more difficult, and specifically their own division is going to be a little more difficult. Do you think that the Spurs and Mavericks will be the pushovers that at times they felt like this past season? The Mavericks missing Luka Doncic for a while and then trading him. The Spurs in year two with Wemby. The Spurs with Stephon Castle in year two. Now they had
De'Aaron Fox. The Rockets didn't play De'Aaron Fox with the
That's true.
On the Spurs. Or if they did, they only played him once, because I know they started the season, I think they played like three other first 10 was against the Spurs. They got, Harper.
And they added Dylan Harper in the draft. Not that Dylan Harper, this Dylan Harper. Basketball Dylan Harper, son of Chicago Bull Dylan Harper. Not that Dylan Harper.
Just a young teenager trying to make their way.
Some exceptional ball skills, it seems. Like
barely
some of his Rutgers highlights. So you got that with the Spurs and the Mavericks. I mean, they got Cooper Flagg. They should be better. So I think that it's going to be a little more difficult for you to get to that 52 win total. You're better. I think you have more wins. I just don't think you're going to have that many more wins. And I think some people are looking at the Rockets thinking, oh yeah, this year, this team, this is a 60 win team now with Kevin Durant aboard. I'm not going to go that far. And by the way, if they don't get to 60 wins, ultimately that doesn't necessarily matter. The Pacers, take a look at where they were last year. And sure, the Eastern Conference a little bit easier, but I mean, that was the four seed in the East.
Yeah. And to me, like the Kevin Durant addition, especially the Kevin Durant addition, that it's more of a trying to go from three playoff wins to 16 than it is a regular season move. It's more about the postseason wins than regular season. Because, yeah, once you get up to 50, over 50, it's all matchups and, like, who do you want to play? Like, there's not anything extra of being the two seed at 52 wins versus the two seed at 58, you know, that there's not really anything that changes there. So to me, I don't even really think that much about, like, I think they'll be a top four team in the West. That's about all I need out of them in the regular season. How many wins that is, like you said about the Pacers, like, to me isn't super relevant.
All that matters to me is that Kevin Durant is healthy come playoff time, so that Kevin Durant can score in the half court the way that it was so difficult for you to score. Like, you can't have another postseason of that. If you do, you'll lose to whoever you play. That Golden State Warriors team is not the Golden State Warriors team of old, and you really could not get anything up against them. And I mean, that's the Warriors, who are no slouch defensively, but it's not Oklahoma City defensively.
Yeah.
There's better teams that are going to make it more difficult for you. And also, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Denver, too.
Yeah, to me, Denver, I mean, I don't know what they're – I'm looking at one that has Houston at 54.5 and Denver at 53.5.
And I think Denver's odds to win the title are longer, too. The Rockets have shorter odds to win the title than the Nuggets, which I also think is ridiculous. They have Jokic.
Yeah.
You know, Durant's 37. That doesn't mean they can't potentially beat the Nuggets in a series, that they can't challenge the Thunder in a series. But I think that in our jubilation over the addition of Kevin Durant, I think a lot of us are looking at this team thinking, yeah, there's a chance that there's 60 wins. That's if Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson take a massive step forward from this past season to next. And I think you got to be patient and cautious with your optimism about how big that step is going to be.
Yeah.
A step forward is still a step forward. You can't get upset that over 4 months, a guy in his early 20s isn't taking like a massive step forward as a player. It takes time. It took time for Jason Tatum. It took time for Jaylen Brown. It took time for a lot of players who came into this league to get to the level where they're at. Hell, it took a really long time for Nikola Jokic, we were just mentioning a moment ago. So just things to keep in mind. I think they're better, without a doubt. I think they're more of a threat in the playoffs. But I also think when we're taking a look at what the regular season win total is, I don't think it's going to be that many more. And I think people should be okay with that, because it's not about that. It's about young players that are going to get extended opportunities like a Reed Shepherd developing. And it's about the guys that we've already seen deliver also developing. Durant just needs to stay healthy, which is not a certainty. And I think the Rockets are going to manage his minutes in a way, too, where there's going to be a bunch of games he probably doesn't play, which would also probably hurt the Rockets' chances to win in a couple of games. Jalen Green, for all his faults, played all the games he possibly could last year. You know? That guy's an Iron Man. It does help to have a guy like that who can score every single night. Is Durant going to play every single night? How does that affect how you look at the Rockets' ability to win games on a night-to-night basis during a regular season? It has to affect it in some way, shape, or form. To not have a guy like that and not have like that one primary scoring option who is able to create his own shot. Because, you know, for all his faults, Green could create his own shot. Just sometimes the shots were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't create that one. I think that's a good point of when Durant is out, that's when you need the small steps or whatever steps you get from Şengün, Thompson, Jabari, Reed Shepherd. Like, that's when you need it, because this team is very similar to last year's team, just with Kevin Durant instead of Jalen Green. But like you said, Jalen Green never missed time. And,
no,
please, you know, for game. Better or for worse, that you got him every night.
Yeah.
Whatever he gave you, you got every night. Where, you know, I'm walking into this season expecting, like, 15 games that Kevin Durant won't play just off the top, just by being 37 years old, Kevin Durant. So those 15, 20 games, however many he misses, like, you'll need a engine of your offense. You'll need the engine, but not Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
No,
you'll need Reed Shepherd or whoever to step up and carry your offense in those games. And I think it's possible, but they actually do need to prove it.
From Ocho Texto on the text line, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Paul, my uncle still doesn't think the Rockets are championship contenders because they don't have enough proven shooters and playmakers. Where does the offense come from when Kevin Durant is resting her out? Yeah, exactly what we said. And, I mean, Fred VanVleet has his moments, but Fred VanVleet, very inconsistent, and we know that this is a guy who's just going to chuck up every open look that he gets. Sometimes that's bad.
Yeah, it's going to have to be Şengün. On the no Durant nights, it'll be, hey, Şengün, you're an all-star last year. Just play like it again. You need to do it again.
And better. And he's going to have to be better underneath the basket. For whatever reason, he just wasn't good last year. I think it was because he was putting more effort in on the defensive side of things. But get in better shape. Get a little stronger.
Yeah. And Thompson. Like, I think too. Thompson's going to be a little bit better this year as well.
From the 8-3-2, take all the losses where the Rockets offense collapsed in the fourth quarter. I think about all those Timberwolves games. And I think Durant helps you win at least half of those.
That is a good point of, like, we're not talking about the extra games you get by playing Durant, when Durant's in there.
Because you have a closer now.
Yeah.
We were talking about, where's the Rockets' closer all season long? Yeah,
right there. Number 7. Tall, skinny one.
Yeah, yeah. From the 9-3-6, KD gets you more playoff wins, not regular season wins.
That's how I view this as well.
Totally agree. Also, a lot of people want the ketchup and mustard uniforms back, and we all agree on that front.
They should.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant, also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app, available for your iPhone or your Android. We are 57 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who's the greatest 57 of all time in league history? He's almost from our backyard, and there's fat shaming going on.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
57 days away from the start of the National Football League season. Who's the best 57 of all time? There's a couple of Hall of Famers. One of them just has an awesome name, Johnny Blood. But the best 57 of all time is former Saints pass rusher who finished his career with the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 29, Ricky Jackson, who played for the Saints from 1981 through 1993, went to college at Pittsburgh, came from the Muck in Florida. Those guys are no joke. We played one of those teams in the playoffs. I went to high school football, for those who don't know, and we lost 66-6. They had two 99-yard fumble returns for touchdowns on us. Guys who play there, built different, chasing rabbits and catching them barehanded while running through sugarcane fields. This is a real thing. Ricky Jackson's NFL career, 128 sacks, 8 picks, 40 forced fumbles. He was known as the other end at Pittsburgh due to someone named Hugh Green, and was on a very good Pittsburgh team. Those Pittsburgh teams in the late 70s, early 80s, Dan Marino was there, were pretty damn good. One of the best Saints ever. And honestly, before the Drew Brees era, probably was the best Saint, unless you wanted to give it to Archie Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very sad history the Saints had until the Drew Brees and Sean Payton show.
2005
arrived.
Or whenever they signed them both. Yeah. It really is. It really is an underrated, or maybe not underrated. I think people know how bad the Saints' history is, but it really has been good basically ever since then. Like, it's, even now.
Well, this year's, I mean, we don't even know who their quarterback's going to
be. This coming year will probably be bad. But
yes,
up until last year.
Yeah, that's fair.
It, like, even the, like, lean times, it's still, like, they're not that bad. So, yeah, shout out to Ricky Jackson.
Best 57 in Houston Texans history. A couple of guys wore it. Brennan Scarlett was always an interesting player wearing 57. He was better on special teams probably than he was as a pass rusher. Neville Hewitt, 2023. And Blake Fisher, current wearer of number 57. Big year for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe Ricky Jackson is the only Hall of Famer that wears number 57.
Yeah, I'm skeptical that I'm skeptical that Blake Fisher
will
gets
be
a
Hall of
contract
Famer.
Here.
Yeah. Oh,
right now, based off of year number one, but we'll see. Kevin Keatsman of KCMO, a radio station in Kansas City, saw a picture of Patrick Mahomes shirtless on the 4th of July, and then he crushed him. The audio not easy to find, so I'm going to read a transcript of what Kevin Keatsman has issues had to say. Quote, he's fat, he's an embarrassment. Pause. You can't call Mahomes an embarrassment. You could say that his body's unimpressive in this picture that went viral. It doesn't look great. He definitely looks like a dad. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. I don't understand it. You can't just run through your NFL career eating Taco Bell all the time and door-dashing fried chicken. You've got a $500 million contract. It's your job. He's done nothing but eat and drink this offseason. I mean, maybe. Look, the picture looks bad. And my initial impression, seeing Mahomes like that, is like, oh, he's no Tom Brady. That's the first thing I think of. But he is talking with Tom Brady this offseason. But look, it's not about being jacked or ripped. If you're someone as good as Mahomes, do you need to look the way that former Bills and Jaguars quarterback Rob Johnson supposedly looked? Just shredded. Looked like a model or a surfer. Seth Payne used to play with him. And I remember that guy would get hurt all the time. That's not to say that you want to be at this in this shape when you play. I think, listen, there's still 2 months until the start of the season.
Yeah, he probably had 3 hot dogs. Like, there is a little bit of, like, it is 4th of July weekend like it is, probably the least healthy he's
going to
be. Might
be a little bloated, but yeah. But I...
He doesn't look great.
He doesn't look great. The pecs are rather undefined, and the belly is a
That's
little bit
really
bigger than it needs to be. I don't think he looks fat. I just think he looks very unathletic, yeah. Which is it's sort of the same way that Baker Mayfield looked a couple of years ago. But hey, I'm a big believer that if you are an athlete, it is your job to be in the best possible shape you can be. Mahomes has probably earned all the benefit of the doubt in Kansas City, though.
Just a little.
And I wonder how this is working for Kevin Kietzman. I'll say this. It definitely got a reaction out of Patrick Mahomes' trainer, Bobby Stroop. He fired back at Kevin Kietzman with multiple comments in response to this. He said, I have questions for you. When has Patrick appeared to be tired in a game, Kevin? When did he not have the physical ability to make a play in a long drive, Kevin? When have you seen us train? When have you seen him eat? What do you know about his regimen, Kevin? You obviously need attention. If you want to see what in shape is, go make it through a practice at St. Joe or run hurry-up offense scrambling back-to-back-to-back plays. To be fair, Mahomes is very good at extended plays and never does seem gassed. Like an Anthony Richardson, who seems to be in much better shape and is tapping out of games, despite being, what, like 7 years younger than Mahomes? You don't have a clue what it takes. It's not a look. It's performance. Also, research quarterbacks and pitchers in the Hall of Fame with six-packs. Tell me what percentage of them played well that way. Thanks. So I get what he's saying. However, I will say this. This trainer does not look good right now. He doesn't. That's your number one client, and that's an unflattering picture.
Yeah, it's not exactly Tim Grover with Michael Jordan.
But it's not good.
Where you can just see, like, look at what I did, even though it's Michael Jordan.
It's not Orlando Magic Sean Kemp versus Seattle Sonics Sean Kemp, but it's not a great look.
No.
That's your client, and I don't think you can push back here. I think you have to zip it.
I think you can push back on the, like, Like, he doesn't need a six-pack to be Patrick Mahomes.
And he's not an embarrassment. That part by Kevin Kietzman was way over the line.
Yeah. Like, this is a league where, like, we've had
Roethlisberger look like a soup sandwich.
Like, Peyton Manning, the beach photos of Peyton and Eli
Tom
Manning.
Tom Brady's
like,
first pictures in the NFL. Like, yeah, it ultimately...
Like, quarterback is the position where I'm like, I don't care. Just look... in decent shape.
It is not as important, and if he has played at this level for a while, I mean, he knows what works, he knows what doesn't work, and ultimately for a team like the Chiefs, you're at the point where just be as good to go as you possibly can come January. J.J. Watt, best possible shape ever. Maybe overtrained himself a little bit and was constantly injured because of the overtraining. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a trainer, I truly wouldn't know. But I know that J.J. Watt has second-guessed that over, you know, his post-playing career. If he perhaps overdid it a little bit with the tire flipping and all that stuff that he was doing on Hard Knocks. Mahomes doesn't look great. Kevin Kietzman was over the line in saying that he's an embarrassment. That's way too far. And I think Bobby Stroop, the trainer for Patrick Mahomes, I get why he's pushing back. But also, I don't know. I'd shut up, buddy. I don't think I want anyone to know who I am at this moment in time. I think everyone looks a little bad here, including Patrick Mahomes. But Mahomes is the champion. This trainer and this radio host, not so much.
Yeah, Stroop needs another client who's just, like, absolutely shredded. Just so he's like, yeah, I work with Patrick Mahomes and also Will Levis. Look at Will Levis, huh? You like look how this guy all he eats is mayo, and look at his six-pack. I think that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
So what, he sucks? Who cares? Don't worry about that.
He was in good shape. That's
not my job. My job is look at those triceps.
It is so interesting just how looking the best does not mean you are the best when you're playing a sport. I remember Dwayne Brown was in the best shape of his life, supposedly going into the 2013 season, and he was bad.
Yeah.
It was his worst season as a
I do think there
lineman.
Is like a difference between looking like working out and looking good versus like having the functional strength that you need and the endurance to, like, actually do this the job that these athletes are doing.
Right. I got to say, though, I got to get in better shape. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'm not where Patrick Mahomes is right now. I was in the gym finally for a two-hour session for the first time in a little bit yesterday.
Wow.
It's nice to get back into that groove. But yeah, I'm like, I can't have anyone else coming after me and call me fat. It's my big paranoia as a sports talk show host is that someone will see me and they're like, oh, that guy's in terrible shape.
Jeremy Branham, be like, he's an embarrassment to the radio.
Well, I mean, I say it enough.
Look at Paul's body. This exhale on a photo bachelor party.
I look good on that 4th of July photo, but I could look better. That's a big fear of mine. I never want to be calling people out when I look like crap. I feel like there are far too many, let's be frank, slobs in our industry that do that. And I'm like, look at you. Like, there is more than just doing what you're doing out on the field. There's more than what you're doing as a radio host, too. Like, I think you should have to look like you've played sports to talk on a radio show. Paul, you don't look like you do. Look at me in person. If you saw me in person, you'd feel different. But Patrick Mahomes, a fatty bumbati, per this radio host, Kevin Keatsman. A lot of backlash. Also, while we're talking about guys who maybe aren't in the best shape anymore, Travis Kelce had a rather unflattering picture this offseason, too. Per Brett Veach, Chiefs general manager, Travis Kelce may not have it every week, but he can find it when we need it. Oof. I can see why Emmanuel Acho is starting to circle the Chiefs like a shark in chummy water. Goodness gracious. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros lost yesterday. Nothing to be concerned about, right? What's going on with the Astros today?
Is that anyone? ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros are looking to avoid a sweep tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. A Wednesday game at night. 7:10 first pitch. Colton Gordon on the hill. Excuse me, he was on the hill on Monday. What am I talking about here? Brandon Walter on the hill for the Astros.
Same thing.
I know. You know what's sad? The name is literally in front of me, and I just read it as Colton Gordon. That's insulting to Colton Gordon. Colton Gordon took a line drive off the dome and stayed in.
Yeah, not a soft boy. Not a soft boy at all. Did a push-up on the mound that impressed Todd Callis and the Astros medical team.
That update yesterday afterwards was very funny, courtesy of Colton Gordon. We didn't get through all the Astros injury updates from yesterday. He went to bed feeling good after getting hit in the head by a line drive. They shouldn't have let him go to bed. He's cleared of any concussion concerns. By who? The Astros medical staff? Said Gordon about the line drive that smacked him in the skull. My immediate reaction is, I wish I would have caught it, but I'm glad I'm all right. Well, do you trust the people who told you you're all right?
Yeah. Also, hardo.
Yeah. I like
that. I wish I would have caught it.
I like that. Should have caught it.
That's why he did a push-up. Like he's a wide receiver who drops a pass.
Yeah.
Has to do a push-up.
I wish I would have caught it. And then he punches a wall. Breaks his hand.
And the Astros like, he's fine.
He's got a little Phil Maton situation.
It's inflammation. Don't worry about
it. It's just inflammation. Jose Altuve, by the way, there was a little scare for him last night. And he had a visit from the trainer after sliding into second base on a double. But that was in the middle of the game. And that was before, on a 4-RBI night, he tied things up late. And Jake Meyers did some running and lower half work before yesterday's game. Maybe he'll be back in the lineup today. It's Brandon Walter on the hill for the Astros tonight against this name rules. This is one of the best names I've seen recently in baseball. Slade Cecconi.
Whoa.
Or Caccioni. It's Italian looking. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you what.
What's Slade?
Up? Slade. C-E-C-C-O-N-I. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Cecconi?
But Slade, if it's Slade Cecconi, I mean, that sounds like a bad guy in a book.
That is, yeah. Wow.
You got to watch out for Slade Cecconi, kid. Got to watch out.
Never trust Slade Cecconi.
Can't trust that Slave Cecconi fella.
3.56 ERA. pretty good.
Pretty good pretty season good. Statistically, right? Old Slade Ciccone. While we're talking about people who sound Italian, this clip popped up on my feed courtesy of, I think, Rogue Houston Sports, I think, was the one who found it. And Embrace Debate, 713-780-3776 to call to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston. Is this man slur for white people, the W word, or is he Italian? You determine for yourself. You're going to have to find the video as well.
What a f***ing show that was. All I wanted to do was enjoy my 4th of July, watch some fireworks at White Beach, and f***ing Altuve from the f***ing Fantasy Island handed it to us. Anyway, I wanted to show off my new jersey drop and everything. And then I got these motherfuckers around behind me. F***ing with me. Anyway, let's try again tomorrow night, y'all. Fireworks, let's go. Get at me if you want info on the jersey.
Oh! Like, there's an Italian-ness to the way he talks. His jersey is a Dodgers jersey that, if I'm not mistaken, has the Louis Vuitton logo on it, and then a bunch of cross-looking things on it. It is just absolute trash. It is a horrible jersey. He is the worst. And there was a debate online, and I'm just going to further it. Is this guy, you know, the W word? The word that some folks call, can I say it? I don't think I can.
I don't think you can.
I don't think I can. Which we should be allowed to say it.
Sounds like what you would call someone who wears a wig, but instead they use it for white trash.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's not
a specific type of white
trash. It's white guys who are trying to be black. That's what the term is for. So is this guy a white guy who's trying to be black? Or is he Italian? I think he's Italian.
This is very like 1920s conversation.
Yeah.
Is he white or Italian?
It's in one of my replies. I can't find it, but Rogue Houston Sports LLC put
the video
this up. Yeah, he put up the video. I don't know where he found this guy. I guess he's a Dodger TikTok star.
It's in the rundown in the audio section.
Oh, you know what his handle is? His handle is The Hood Vin Scully. Okay, so you know what? I actually still don't know. Was this Dodgers fan over the weekend? And yeah, we're still reveling in that. Was he Italian or the W word? 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. That's anti-Italian discrimination. Key from L.A. helping us out from the 747. That's most white boys in L.A. Oh. Really? I figured that a lot of them were like kind of hipster, hacky sack, wannabe actor types.
Yeah, I imagine. Key would know. I imagine it's like depends on it's regional. If he grew up in, you know, like the where the actors live, like in the, you know, super rich part. It's like I'm trying to be a TikToker. And then if you grow up on a different side, you turn into this guy with a knockoff Louis Vuitton.
Oh, he sucks. He sucks.
Dodgers thing where he's like, hit me up if you want this.
Yeah, like, meanwhile, it's 18 to 1. He posts the fireworks afterwards. Hey, hit me up if you want this jersey.
Forgot to plug this, by the way.
Yeah.
This terrible jersey.
I'm going to hawk my terrible merchandise with my, no offense, not really strong, powerful, independent woman looking as much as Can we say the B word? I don't mean B-I-T-C-H. I mean, can we say, is bimbo allowed? she looks like a bimbo. Not that I
think
listen.
Key from L.A. is going to chime in with that's how much white girls look like in L.A.
Anyway, the text line is having fun with this. Embrace Debate, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. By the way, the Rockets, we found out the group that they're going to be in the
NBA
Cup tournament.
Cup of Life.
The Cup of Life.
2025.
It's a tough one.
Group C, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Cup.
Nuggets, Spurs, Blazers, and Warriors. This feels similar. The Nuggets and Warriors were in it last year. I don't know if the Spurs and the Blazers were in it last year. They got far last year, but then the Thunder took them out. But you could get some vengeance against the Warriors in a playoff-style kind of game early on in the year. I like that.
I am vengeance. Let's see. Yeah, I think, did they not have, yeah, they had the Clippers last year. They had the Clippers, Blazers, Wolves.
Okay.
And someone else.
Okie doke.
Kings.
Kings, okay. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Also, you can join us on the brand new app. Up next, do we love Daikin Park? I ask that question because Daikin Park killed the Astros last night. Do we like it? You answer that on the other side. Stick around.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Has your roof started to experience leaks or been damaged from recent storms? When it comes to roofing in Houston and surrounding areas, Brinkman is the only name to trust with your roofing needs. Brinkman's team of